Let's jump up the coast here and see if Dana Durnford is online and standing by.
Great.
Somewhere
yeah,
off
here,
the
so.
British Columbia coast. Are you there, Dana? Can you hear me?
Hi, Jeff. Yes, I can. Thank you.
Hey, Yoshi is here, too.
Hey, Yoshi.
Happy New Year.
I keep getting your name wrong. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, we were just talking. I don't know if you were listening in or not about what's in the water. Yeah, yeah. Right there at the top, God knows how many hundreds of nuclides.
Right.
And then some of them seemingly almost let's just imagine we're dealing with the positive and negative polarities of magnets. They're attracted to the algae, the microplankton, and they stick to it. There are all kinds of mechanisms by which this stuff stays up on top or very near the top. It's just not found deep.
Yeah, it's 1/10,000th of a millionth of a meter. It's about 1,000 times smaller than the dust that floats around in your home after you clean it spotless.
Wow.
Day. And so this stuff also, because of the salt water they sprayed on the reactors, because everything got smashed up and cut off and 500 miles of coastline was wiped out. There's no way to get in there. They use salt water, and the sulfur created these peroxide hydrogen buckyballs, and they were able to ingest the elements, the particles, the atoms, and they're not solutable in water. And so it was easy for them to transport, apparently. They're very transportable, not only with the ocean, but to the wind, but they will rain out on top of the ocean. They're so light. So it's like a snowstorm, and instead of sinking into the ocean, it piles up on top of the ocean like snow would do on land, but it's on a nano scale, like Yoshi was saying earlier there. And so some of it, of course, will sink and get washed down because it'll aggregate with other particles and it'll fall down. But because it's so tiny, whatever particle was used at tiny too, mm-hmm. The cold water nutrients will bring it back up to the surface. And if it gets liberated, then it can hang out again. And even the stuff that washed down out of the mountains, everything on the west side of the Rocky Mountains washed towards the Pacific, and then on the east side of the Rocky Mountains went towards the Atlantic and the Gulf. Well, that stuff would have come down and could be liberated back onto the coastline and get picked up in rainstorms and deposited back down onto the surface over and over and over. And that's probably what wiped out the phytoplankton, because they hang out at the surface, and that's where they're feeding to and growing up to. And so, you know, that's why we're seeing that annihilation of all the other species. That's why all those birds, they died. There was nothing to feed on because the basis of the food chain, the phytoplankton, the krill, were all dependent upon that zone.
Yeah.
And so the birds that, like I say, 700 kilometers of coastline, I never seen a single flock of birds. And when I finally did, first time since, and I know I made a mistake last time, I was saying since May, I've been out there. I don't know how I come up with that one. I was out there since the end of June of last year. And Lane came up and visited one of the donors, extraordinarily nice people. She reminded me of that one. Now, the problem is, of course, this has been going on for like almost four years at this stage. And TEPCO, like you were saying earlier, they had abandoned the plant, and everybody suspects that's been going on for a long time. And this stuff is unmitigated at this stage. There's no way to control it anyway. And nobody really believes they were really storing that stuff. There's like a fable because of the duct tape and all the other things they were doing.
It is.
No indication that
it is. It's a fraud. It's just a fraud.
People were working in those areas, so if there was heavy leaks there, they couldn't have worked there. And so it just looks like a picture they painted, same as Building 4, in my opinion. It's just a picture they painted to distract from 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, I watched National Geographic on Fukushima. And they keep referring to Building 4 as just a fire, but the building actually, as you know and everybody else knows, detonated. And I thought that was really intriguing. And Unit 4 had a huge inventory in its fuel pools that detonated and exploded.
Huge.
And went all over that site as you guys flushed it.
But don't worry, Dana. TEPCO assures us that they removed every last bit of it from the spent fuel pool. It's all safely gone now.
How do you keep a TEPCO executive out of your back garden? You got to hang one of them in your front garden. Like a scarecrow.
Cute.
That's just a joke, folks. Please
I
don't hang
it.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
Not unless you do it legally, and I'm sure you could if you tried really hard to everybody.
It really is amazing. You made a point, and we've been trying to make this point as well, Dana, that the phytoplankton and the krill But the phytoplankton are everywhere. They are what the smallest species eat, and it goes from there.
And the oxygen. And they also sequester carbon. They're the biggest carbon sequester out there, the biggest oxygen producer on this planet, and they're the very basis of the food chain. Without them, everything else will fall. That's what we're looking at.
Now, are they actually being eradicated, or are they just becoming irradiated?
Eradicated. They're so small that they can't bioaccumulate it. They actually get popped like a popcorn. They can't come close to it. So if they drift past the elements that are putting out the vessels, they're done. They get fried. And just like these elements, folks, will say a Beckel is like a grain. It'll flip over a grain of sand. Well, that don't sound like a lot to me or you, but something that's extraordinarily tiny, that's huge troubles. And so these things will do that till the end of time. And so in their lifetime, they can eradicate an amazing amount, just one single atom with isotope in it, can, over its lifetime, set free in the air. Of course, when you take a gram, it's more atoms than all the grains of sand and all the beaches combined. And each reactor had around 3,450 assemblies, 80 rods in each assembly. Each rod is 12 feet long. Each rod weighs 18 pounds. So even just a single rod out of 280,000 rods that were actually in the reactors at the time, the cores of the reactors, when they melted down the coriums, everything they chewed up around them, the rocks and the metal and parts of the building that fell in on top of them, is also atoms and elements. And so they become ionized and radiated too. And so it's like a whole different inventory. And when you spray the salt water on it, those sulfur peroxide buckyballs created from the molecules have become ionized and elemented, or radiated elements, too. And so we're like, a lot, when people think of the inventory, they think of the fuel rods themselves, which is just unimaginable. Each reactor is, you know, just not counting the fuel pool, but each reactor is around 2 billion times more atoms than all the grains of sand and all the beaches on this planet combined.
Wow.
And so that's enough to give every mammal, every animal, every human cancer many times over. And cancer takes a long time to manifest, but the phytoplankton, we're talking about a constant invisible snowstorm floating around this planet. And so some people that are really high up in this had said that March, April, May of 2011, everybody in North America ingested at least 10 radioactive hot particles every day. And a single hot particle is a guaranteed cancer, as Dr. Raymond Gilmedi from Loveless Respiratory Research Institute in New Mexico that showed by studying killing the beagle dogs for 35 years by making them ingest americium and plutonium, that even the smallest atom would kill the animals in their 4 years, 70% of them, and give them serious tumors, serious cancers.
Yeah.
Of course.
And that's why we've had no baby orca beyond 1 year of age since 311.
That's a good point, yeah. And
they're on the way out.
Singing, of course.
Yeah.
That's shocking. That's unimaginable. And people just don't understand, and I tell people up here, and it shocks them. And that's something that resonates with everybody, because the killer whale, of course, is so famous. That truly is one of the few things that I see can reach into people. But, you know, we come up to a commercial, but it sounds of it. You know, I got this whole town here, and I've been stuck up here in bad weather, and I get out for a little bit, and I'm stuck in bad weather, freezing temperatures. Now we got freezing rain and snow. And the weather's just going to break for the next couple of weeks, so really good shape to get out here and hit this coastline, but there's nothing out there, so just documenting it at this stage. Hopefully, you know, by the time I go down the coastline, this planet starts to, you know, try to come up with a future. And just to touch on one more point, you know, you were talking about the studies earlier, how nobody reads the studies. Well, the studies are all locked away, folks. Your universities produce a study, and then Elsevier, Springer, and Wiley, the three biggest publishing houses on the planet with 20,000 outlets, gets the copyrights for free. And that's why nobody can or hear about a lot of these studies, because they're locked away on a paywall. And a lot of these studies could be $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 just to get in there and browse, let alone read.
Very
so
good
how
point.
Could the average person.
Yeah, very good point. Stand by. Dana will come right back. Okay. Yochi and I will continue with all of you folks as we step into the year 2015, the year the Pacific died. Be back in a minute. Listen, the idea of eating fish, people are still eating seafood. Dana, out of the Pacific. The industry, I don't know what it's down, maybe, what, 5%? That's all. It's surviving. No one's talking. And there are these salmon farms. I don't know. Do they have salmon farms in the ocean confined by nets, or is it all inland in holes in the ground?
No, the coastline's got a lot of these things. The big nets out in the ocean, they have a lot of escapes out of those nets. A lot of these salmon are genetically modified salmon. And those whole areas are polluted areas because of all the stuff they put in there, the antibiotics and everything. It's just...
Oh, yeah, they're feeding them all kinds of things. Even cattle blood goes in there. Remnants from pig factories, cow slaughterhouses, it doesn't matter.
They're all great big, huge animals. I do know they've been laying off a lot of workers instead of increasing it. The future was supposed to be huge on farmed fish, you know, out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I know people that work in that industry work out there on those farms. As I was coming up the coastline, I got a chance to visit with them. They were telling me that they were surprised because they had built up all these places and bought all these licenses and plants and hired all these people, and all of a sudden they just start cutting back, and nobody really knows what's going on. I think they're predicting themselves what's going on. It's not going to be sustainable. You know, everything we're seeing is the indication that the ocean is well on its way into that extinction level event. Of course, what I'm looking at is just, it's really something to look at that.
You know, I was in a pet store recently, and I used to own pet stores, and I would always be keenly observant of the ingredients in pet foods, most of which is unfit for your pet to even go near, let alone eat. You want to kill your pet off early, feed him commercial grade.
I cook all the meals for Zoe and myself, everything.
There you go.
Every single meal, yeah.
That's it. They should be eating proper, organic, wholesome human food. Now, most of them have, they'll call it salmon, and they make it sound like it's a great thing. But they don't tell you where the salmon comes from. And they don't talk about anything. The only food you dare give your pet is 100% organic food, guaranteed non-GMO. Otherwise, you're going to watch your pet fade away years too early. Not fun.
Huge problems with your fur, too, yeah.
Yeah.
If you give them GMO, you'll see it right away. Fur gets really dry.
Yep.
Really falling out everywhere. Feed them organic. It'll clean it right up in 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And... you know, there's already damage done if you've been feeding them GMO, but it's still okay to switch it off and give them normal food, because they will have a relatively normal life after that. It makes a huge difference, yeah.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. People don't even understand how the GMO, how the glyphosates and the formaldehydes, how they stop the uptake of nutrients in the body, and so that applies to your pets too, folks. And your pet, you might be trying to do everything you can right for the pet, but if you slip in that GMO, you're taking away everything good you're doing unknowingly, and that's the problem. That's what makes it so hideous and so demented. The scientists knew exactly. They actually engineered, you know, the calcium, the magnesium, the iron, the cobalt, the carbon, everything out of it, and left just tiny parts per millions left over, like, calcium, there was 6,000 parts per million plus in corn, and they engineered it down to 114 parts per million. They engineered out all the calcium, and they've done the same thing with the potassium. And the equivalent is around 400 GMO corn to get the same amount of calcium as in a single organic corn on the cob. So you have to fill up your truck with corn on the cob made by GMO, big and beautiful. In other words, food that doesn't have little rotten patches on it, GMO won't have rotten patches on it very often, but organic has rotten patches, and you got to chop them out, and that's just normal. It's always been that way.
Correct.
And so, when you see that, you know you're into the organic.
Usually, this stuff in supermarkets looks like it came off the cover of Sunset Magazine. It's just perfect.
Yeah.
And when you see
exactly
perfect,
the way to say it, yeah.
There's nothing there. It's devoid of nutrition. It's full of GMOs in most cases, and worse. The average head of lettuce, years ago, the average head of iceberg lettuce was sprayed 13 times with herbicides and pesticides and God knows what else before it hit the salad bowl. You want to eat that? You want to feed that to your children? Grow your own organically in a covered greenhouse. Get the soil. You got to get good soil and keep it clean. Don't let the rain get on it. If you've got a well, use well water only. You've got to be careful. Dana, you take care of yourself. Thank you very much
for
the report.
Okay.
Talk to you next week, and you be careful.
I'll be out there. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be on the go. Could be a couple of weeks at a time now, because we got to get the job done before spring. So
All
take
right.
care, folks, and thanks again, Jeff. Yep.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.